Hello, everyone. On this Monday, February 15th, welcome to the podcast today. So glad you joined me for some time in the Word of God and just to be enriched with what He has spoken today and given me to do is found in Luke chapter 7. And it's about the woman who poured out the alabaster flask upon Jesus's feet. The topic today has to do with the cost of our worship. Just want to just jump right in right off the bat. I noticed that some of my podcasts have been going kind of long, and I'd really like to keep them between the 15 and 20 minute mark. My apologies for being so long-winded and going longer, so I'm going to try to condense it down a little bit. It's just so hard because the Word of God is just so full, okay? 2 Samuel 24:24, David said these words, "I will not bring a sacrifice to the Lord that cost me nothing." And he understood the value of costly worship, you know, because worship, it can become very routine. It can actually become mundane if we don't have a fresh sacrifice. Maybe the sacrifice that you're bringing to the Lord in your worship was what you brought Him last year or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And maybe the Lord's calling us to a higher level of sacrifice. It keeps worship from becoming stale if it actually cost us mileage. Okay, or maybe it cost us our inner giving, all right, financially, going to another level in that part of our worship. Maybe worship cost us the opinions of others, you know, being able to abandon ourselves in freedom to the Lord. For some people, it may be as simple as singing or raising their hands. For some people, it might be bowing, okay? God is just pouring out so many things on the church right now, and worship is just such a hot item. This Luke chapter 7 passage, you know, this is like the third or fourth time I've been directed to this passage, maybe in the last 3 to 4 months. And so the Lord is definitely talking to us about what we bring to Him in our worship. It costs God everything to give a son, okay? It costs Jesus His life. Skin off His back, His blood. And so our worship, what we return to Him, it should be costly as well. Let's look at this passage in Luke chapter 7. Jesus was invited to a Pharisee's house to eat, and He went in and sat down, and behold, this is verse 37 of Luke 7, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. Now, what I think about this alabaster flask of fragrant oil, if she was a sinner, then this was probably something that she used on her male clientele. Okay, I'm just thinking that maybe this alabaster flask was something that was very costly and expensive, but it was probably something that she used to make money. Okay, so she was basically bringing something that would have been given over to sinful relationships with men, and she was saying, "I am changing, and I am now going to pour this out on Jesus." So it cost her. It cost her to pour this out. Not only did it cost her financially, it cost her the ridicule and the criticism. It cost her dignity. Because listen to what she did. She stood at His feet behind Him weeping. She was in a room full of men, okay? Jesus was there with Pharisees and His disciples, and in comes a woman blubbering. She began to wash His feet with her tears, wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed His feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited Him saw this, he spoke to himself. He said this in his heart, saying, "This man, Jesus, if he were really a prophet, he would know what manner of woman this is who is touching Him, for she is a sinner." See, they weren't even allowed to touch what they considered to be unclean, let alone a woman in public. Okay? So, Have you ever seen someone pour out extravagant worship upon the Lord? And are you able to say, yeah, I get it. I get it. What they're doing right there, it seems a little bit extravagant. It seems a little bit lavish or over the top, but I get it. I get it. What's going on in their heart? Or is your heart in the mind and place that you look at it and with disdain, and it's like contempt. It's like, ugh, they're just trying to get attention. Okay, so sometimes we need to examine what's in our hearts when we even see extravagant worship. So Jesus knew what was in Simon's heart. He said, Simon, I have something to say to you. Uh-oh. Okay, you can just feel the weight and the heaviness. And Jesus is going to speak directly. He's going to address something in the room. He's going to address the attitudes. He's going to address the criticism. Okay. He's going to address the places where the people aren't free to worship him the way they should be. Okay. It's like, why aren't you this free? So Simon said, teacher, say it. He said, there was a certain creditor who had two people that owed him money. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. And when they both had nothing to repay their debts, he freely forgave them both. Jesus said to Simon, tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? And Simon answered, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. Jesus said, you have rightly judged. Okay, so Jesus was addressing something that a person's ability to pour out extravagant worship and to be free in their worship, they have actually come into an understanding of how much they've been forgiven, but they've also understood how valuable Jesus is. Because Jesus went on to say, he turned to the woman and said, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she's washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. So Jesus is addressing two things here. One is the forgiveness issue. You know, when we realize how much we've been forgiven, we do love Jesus more. But Jesus is also saying something else here. He's saying, I'm worth this. And to criticize someone else's lavish worship is to say that Jesus isn't worth it. Okay. And so Jesus wants our perspective right and exactly what he is worth. And, you know, I was thinking yesterday, Valentine's Day, you know, that if you can think back to when you were dating or when you used to have a crush on someone, how you would arrange your schedule to be where they were, you know, whether you would pass them in the hallway at school just to get a look at them, or maybe you would drive a certain place to be with someone. You know, it's because you would just position yourself because you wanted to be with them. I was listening to the song on the radio as I was programming. It's Danny Gokey, where he says, oh, the places I'd go just to be where you are. I mean, do you have that kind of a passion towards Jesus? The places I would go just to be where you are, Jesus, just to get a glimpse of you. You know, just to be with you for a few minutes. I mean, have you arranged your schedule like that for the Lord? I know many of you have. Sometimes there are no words, you know, this woman in her display of worship in Luke 7. I mean, she didn't have to say a word. It's just her worship said everything. And, you know, I was also thinking about, you know, worship being costly. If we're no longer putting a fresh sacrifice on the altar, you know, if there's nothing there to burn, not a fresh sacrifice, worship can sometimes get kind of dry or stale, and it's kind of up to us to keep the sacrifice burning. you know, to keep going into more levels with the Lord, deeper into our worship, drinking deeper from the well, going higher with Him, just a new cost. So I had an amazing time at church this weekend. Oh my goodness. I mean, just what God is doing right now in the church. You know, this whole thing with worship, God is taking it to another level. And I think we got to keep in step with that, you know, with our sacrifice that we bring to Him in worship. So, you know, I kind of had a practical struggle this weekend in worship. And it was basically not having enough room between the pews to dance, you know, as this presence and this glory of the Lord is increasing and we're being, you know, just drawn into deeper worship. I mean, it requires, you know, just a greater expression for Him. You know, I don't want to become stiff. I don't want to be unbendable, you know, to just spread my arms out and, you know, to dance before the Lord. It's a very natural thing for me, but I was confined between these two church pews. And so I think God is, you know, wanting to bring people into a deeper expression. And I mentioned this to my friends. I said, I don't know what to do. And they said, move out in the aisle. I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, because that's going to require another fresh sacrifice. And, you know, if you think about everything that we've seen in 2020 and some of the things that we've seen out in the streets, who is going to criticize someone getting out in the aisle and worshiping Jesus? I mean, really? After everything that we've seen in the past year, is that really going to be so hard? But I do want to point this out, that when we are willing to surrender to the Holy Spirit and how He is leading us in worship, you know, for some it may be singing. For some, it may be raising their hands. For some, it may be getting down on their knees. For some, it may be a dance. For some, it may be giving and investing into the kingdom of God. You know, what sacrifice is the Holy Spirit moving you into to keep your fire burning on the altar? One thing I've found is that if we will respond to the Holy Spirit, we will break into freedom. And then our freedom actually releases other people in the room as well. So, you know, never underestimate the power of your obedience to the Lord in a worship moment and what it would actually do for you, but what it'll do for everyone in the room. You know, just like in this story, because she was free in her worship at the feet of Jesus, it actually broke something in the room where Jesus was able to deal with some things in people's hearts to get them free. Okay. And Friday night at worship, I was with one of my friends. We were just having a good time, you know, in our praise and in our worship. And later on Sunday, a young woman said to me, I looked over at you two and I saw your friend, Randy, and then I saw you dancing. And she said, and then I just started dancing. I felt like I could do it too. And so, I mean, you never know who is in the room that, man, they want to go deeper with God. They want to pour out a better offering. But, man, they just need some encouragement. And you may be the encouragement they need. Yeah, so they can get that satisfying drink. So, I mean, man, can you imagine what would happen if we had a room full of people that were obedient to the Holy Spirit in worship? Can you imagine what would take place in the room? I can tell you what would happen. The glory of the Lord would come and fill that place. That's what we're after, Jesus. We just want you. He's worth it, okay? So, just want to encourage you today, you know, to pour out costly worship upon the Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you gave to us. Thank you for what you were willing to pour out, the cost of giving your Son for us. Jesus, thank you for giving your life. It cost you your blood and the skin off your back, Jesus. It caused you so much pain. It cost you separation from the Father. And so, Jesus, help us. Help us to be led by your Spirit, to respond in worship to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, to be free in our worship, Jesus, and to give you a lavish offering that you're worthy of. You're worth it, Jesus. You're worth it. Father, we pray for our church gatherings and our services, Lord, that people would be able to taste of your goodness, that they would be able to come in and drink freely of the river of life, God. So use us whatever way you see fit, God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Until next time. Hey, I did it good. It's only 15 minutes. Okay. God bless. Have a great day.